Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your next order. If you want to know what the perceived weaknesses of this year's team are or is, look to what you would do in next year's draft. This is Tony Wiggins with your Jacksonville Jaguars report here on Locked On Jaguars. Don't get mad. Don't say, T-Wig, why are you already looking ahead to next year's draft? Why are you trying to forecast what is wrong with this year's team before we've even seen this year's team and what's wrong? Well, I tell you what, Dave Caldwell's doing it. They're already looking towards next year's draft because they're already trying to forecast who they're going to pick and formulate in their mind what type of player they're going to add to this year's team. You know why? Because they already know where they're going to be weak. They already know where they're going to have to fortify this team. And if they already know that and have an idea of where they're going to fortify this year's team, they already know where they're going to be weak this year. I'm sorry to tell you, but that's kind of the way that they do this stuff, man. This is how it goes. These teams do not have the luxury of taking a micro approach to the way that they view their, you know, these seasons. You know, folks think that they just roll the dice and go, okay, let's see how it goes, and we'll fix it at the end of the year. Nope, not how it goes. Not now how scouting works. They know where they hope they know where they're strong at, and they know where they hope they can get by at until next year. I kind of know where they hope they're going to get by at till next year already. In a few spots. If you think about it, you can look at the roster. You can look at some of the late additions in free agency. You can look at what they did in the draft, what they didn't do in the draft. You can look at some guys that are in the last years of their contracts that are in some make it or break it type years. Dudes are either going to get re-signed or they're going to get moved on from. And you've seen it in the past that this is the organization that will either re-sign you. And it, too many times in the past, especially when it comes to young players, they didn't get re-signed. They have absolutely moved on from it. Man, we've talked about it in the past, how a lot of guys that they drafted never saw the light of day in their second contracts. And we've said in the past that this is the kind of stuff that has to stop. So just look. Just go back in the draft 3 or 4 years, right? And you'll know what this team needs to, you know, figure out where they're going to add players at those positions. Just look at the contract situations of guys in certain positions. So you're saying, man, what does that have to do with this year? Well, what it has to do with this year is this. If people are under one-year contracts and they're in make it or break it seasons, 9 times out of 10, they're in positions where those positions will be fortified next year, right? So if those positions will be positions that are fortified next year, they're probably not positions of strength now. And if they're not positions of strength now, that means that they're going to be attacked this year. So those will be the positions that will be the most vulnerable. And this is just my way of looking at it. You may agree or disagree. But they probably are the positions that are going to be the most vulnerable this year. And they're going to be the ones that dictate whether you win or lose. Also, what's going to be dictated by how you win or lose are the positions where you think you're really, really good and whether those guys play up to their potential every week or not. And if your good positions are lined up every week against the bad positions from the good teams, or if your good positions are lined up against the really good positions from the other team every week, well, whose good positions plays the best on Sunday to give you the chance to win? All critical things you have to ask yourself, and you need to go through every single game and ask question by question. Is it good unit versus good unit? Good unit versus bad unit? Bad unit versus good unit? And how's this thing going to play out? And that's where you can determine every week who has a better chance to win and why, to see how the Jaguars' schedule is going to turn out this year. All right, so that's what we're going to do. So coming up, what we're going to do is I'm going to go through some of the divisions, the division games, and tell you how the Jaguars compare, because that's where they're going to play 6 of these games. What Jaguars unit against each one of the three division teams is going to be the unit with the most pressure for two reasons. One, because it's the perceived weakest unit on the team, right? And they're going to have the most pressure to perform against the strength of the other team, or because they're the perceived weakness of the Jaguars, and they're going to be attacked. The other thing is the strength of the Jaguars unit and whether or not they're lining up against the strength of the other team and why they're going to be under pressure to perform. Then I'm just giving you the overall weakest units of the team, in my opinion, that's going to be need to be fortified based on what I think they're going to do in the draft in 2021. And that's going to be based on the fact that it's the weakest unit on the team, if you get what I'm saying. And you'll figure it all out by the end of segment two. I'm going to do all of that in just a second here on a Friday edition of Locked On Jaguars. I must first tell you about our friends over at Built Bar. You want to know what Built Bar is? I've told you this in the past. I'm going to tell you again, man. It is the best tasting protein bar on the market. No doubt about it. They even have new flavors. You know what? They got the banana bread, mint brownie, salted caramel, double chocolate, orange, toffee almond. And you're saying, wait a minute. Are we talking about a candy bar or are we talking about a healthy protein bar? It's a healthy protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, and it has 180 grams of protein. It needs to be on the candy bar aisle because that's exactly what it tastes like. Here's the offer. All right. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code Locked On, and you'll get $10 off of your next order. You need to use the promo code Locked On for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. And when you get your Built Bars, man, I want you to send them to me at Shop Talking Wig or at Locked On Jaguars and show me that you got them, taste them, and tell me how good they are. I'm telling you, it's going to be the best thing you ever tasted. It should be on the candy bar aisle. Candy bars can't do what Built Bars do for you because they keep that body looking good. It's Built Bars at BuiltBar.com, and you heard it right here on Locked On Jaguars. Use Locked On as a promo code and get $10 off. All right, man, so we're going around the mulberry bush here in an unorthodox way. It's not analytics, but it's the T-Wig way of looking at things. If you want to know where the Jaguars are going to need work, and if you're Dave Caldwell or Doug Marrone or whoever, you're always optimistic and you're always hopeful, right? You expect the guys that, you know, you're depending on to be the best players on the team to actually play like the best players on the team. Just like you expect the guys that you have in certain positions as coaches to coach really well and do all of the things that they're supposed to do. You expect your young players that you have pegged as future superstars to grow up. You expect your young players that you use high draft picks on to perform the way you want them to perform. You expect the guys that you've gone out and signed as priority free agents to do exactly what it was you imagined that they would do when you went out and signed them to come in here and do certain jobs. So all of that rings true. Let's just say from a optimistic standpoint that all of those things are understood and will happen. You do, however, know that there are some things that you're optimistic about that you're also just hopeful and wishful about, that you know that you have this built-in belief and understanding that it's not always going to go your way, because other people have guys that are going to push and they've been lifting weights and they're going to try too. In fact, you know who those guys are because some of those guys you had on your draft board, some of those guys you had on your free agent wish list, some of those guys, if they became free agents, you have a book on them and you would sign them to your football team because you know what their capabilities are. Okay, and if you're a coach, you've game planned against them. You know what those dudes are capable of. Sometimes they're guys that you've coached with, coached against, and you've actually coached because all of these guys have coached around the league in different spots. So you know what these guys are capable of doing. So you just try to motivate your guys to do the absolute best that they can to stop them on a daily basis. So you know that there's going to be pushback. You know there's going to be resistance. You're not going to shut everybody out, and you're not going to, you know, score touchdowns every time you want to. But you know that you have some weaknesses. You know that there are spots on your football team that you're going to give up some things, right? You're just trying to make sure that your strengths outweigh your weaknesses. You're trying to make sure your hard spots can cover up for your soft spots. What are those soft spots on the Jaguars team? I thought it was the offensive line. They don't believe that, you know, and you've heard that over and over and over again ad nauseum. If you listen to the podcast, if you've heard Doug Marrone, if you've heard Dave Caldwell talk about the offensive line, they love him way more than I do. That's going to play itself out. We'll have a chance to discuss that all year. So that's not what they believe it is, because if it was, they would have addressed it a little bit more in free agency. They addressed the wide receiver position a lot earlier than I thought they were. I thought they were probably a little bit more settled there. They may have thought that they liked those receivers, but they just liked Laviska Shenault a lot better than they liked just leaving the group the way it was, because they're really, really going to use him a lot. And he's the talk of camp right now while they're running around in shorts. So you got to give them some credit for, you know, picking a guy and then saying, hey, this isn't just about raising the floor of the room. This is about him. We like him. So running back, they added a little depth. You know, they got Leonard Fournette. They know what he is. They know how Jay Gruden has a history of using a number of guys, and they like Rock Armstead. So they really believe that that group is what it is. So you wonder if offensively, if they're really, really concerned about anything. I just think they believed that what they needed to do was get a scheme and get guys that believed in Gardner Minshew and add a few pieces. I think they thought it was more or less getting more and more creative, offensively, and finding coaches that knew how to implement the weapons that they already had while getting one or two more bullets in the gun. It appears to me that that's what they thought was their weakness. I think they are locked and loaded and ready to go. They got Tyler Eifert, and they wanted to get Josh Oliver healthy and bring back O'Shaughnessy. It doesn't appear that they felt that they were that far off offensively with the emergence of DJ Chark. So I think they think, okay, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. I think for the most part, if you look ahead to the future to try to determine where they think they might have a soft spot, I think it's defense. Right now, it's defensive tackle. I think they're hopeful that Taven Bryant will develop. But if Taven Bryant doesn't develop, I think right now, even with Devon Hamilton being a third-round pick and Avery Jones being a veteran, I think right now, if you ask them, the biggest hole that this team has moving forward is in the middle of the defense. I think if you had to ask, or if you had to guess, what position will they use a first-round pick on next year, it would be like somebody like Marvin Wilson from Florida State. I really believe that. I think if you had to guess, and if they had to guess, the one position, especially if you look at the fact that they've had additions late in training camp with veterans, I think the one position the Jags are really, really hoping that either someone develops, either a rookie develops in Devon Hamilton, either Taven Bryan takes another step, either they get a lot of good play out of the Gunner kid that they signed from Arizona as a free agent, Avery Jones takes a step forward as a valuable free agent, that maybe the addition of Joe Schobert helps the linebacking core, which helps the front seven even more so than they expect, that it doesn't look as bad. But right now, I really, really think that they are hoping and wishing that that defensive line, especially the interior, plays above its expectation level. Because if not, that is going to be the priority area come next year. So that's what I mean by trying to associate what you see now with what may be the biggest weakness if you perceive that there's a weakness on the team. The biggest weakness on the team next year in the draft, and how would that affect what might happen this year? The second one is safety. I think Ronnie Harrison's in the same boat. Ronnie Harrison along with Jared Wilson. I think they're hoping that those two young guys can step up, because if they're not there, you're going to see it early and you're going to see it often. That safety will be another priority position for them next year. If you look up and come the end of this season, the Jaguars are either trying to sign a defensive tackle or a safety with a priority resource, or you look up and they're trying to draft with two first-round draft picks a defensive tackle or a safety. It'll be because it won't be because I'm saying it, but you'll be able to remember. You'll be able to go back and you'll remember, damn, I remember Wiggs said that safety and defensive tackle was going to be their Achilles heel. And then during the season, it was their Achilles heel. And then you'll know why that they're drafting a safety and a defensive tackle in the first round next year, because it was transparent that that was going to be a problem. And if there was going to be a problem with this team, that's what it's going to be. So let's just see how it plays out. But right now, if looking ahead to look backwards, if there's a perceived weakness on the team, it's the middle of the front and the middle of the back of this defense, and hopefully some guys will step up, and that won't be the case. It'll make it very difficult for the Jaguars to try to figure out where they're going to add some talent. All right, coming up in the third segment, I'm going to look at the division, and I'm going to tell you whether or not the Jaguars will have problems with the weaknesses of their team against good teams in the division or bad teams in the division, or will it be their strengths going up against the other strengths of the divisional teams that will cause them problems in divisional games. And we'll do that in our third and final segment of the week here on Locked On Jaguars. Okay, so divisional games. We just talked about perceived strengths and weaknesses. What would be the biggest pluses and minuses, or the Achilles heels and the strengths in the divisional games? Let's start with the opening weeks. We did some reviews early in the year, so let's just take a look at it as training camp has started, and now we see the way the roster is actually shaping up with guys who have opted out and with some late additions. I think the perceived weakness in terms of not what I think, but even what the most logical person and the most reasonable person would think, is that the most worrisome spots are defensive tackle and safety. How does that match up against the Colts? Well, everyone talks about the Colts' offensive line. I don't think it's their entire offensive line that's very good. I think it's the interior of their offensive line that is very good. And I believe if you're going to get in the way of a guy like Phillip Rivers, you're not going to get him in trouble by rushing him on the outside, because it takes longer to do that. I think you get Phillip Rivers in trouble when you knock him off a square by rushing him on the inside. And if you don't have great players that can do that from the inside, you're not going to really bother him. So the strength of the Colts offense, which is the interior of their offensive line, matches up directly with the weakness of the Jaguars defense. The Colts have like two or three really good running backs that run between the tackles. That does not bode well for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now the strengths of the Jaguars team, which is their edge rush, matches up pretty well with the Colts edge on the offensive line, because that is not the strengths of the Colts' offense. However, Phillip Rivers does get the ball out pretty quickly. The Jaguars' edge has not bothered Phillip Rivers much in the past. Now, when you flip it around, it's hard to tell what the Colts are going to have on defense, because they were banged up a little bit last year. However, with DeForest Buckner now on that team, him coming up the middle really does not bode well for Jacksonville, and it's going to be a tough test for the Jaguars up front with A.J. Cann and those guys. And Darius Leonard's coming back off of an injury. The Jaguars is going to be a real good test for Jacksonville. So right now, I'm going to give a slight edge to the Colts in terms of strengths and Achilles heels matching up against each other. Let's go to Houston, man. Houston's strength, that quarterback that runs around. Jaguars' strength, the people that can catch the quarterback who runs around. They haven't done a lot of it in the past. Houston's strength, speed at wide receiver. Jaguars, one of their weaknesses, deep middle people. I just told you about it with the safeties. Advantage Houston. Flip it around. Jaguars' strengths, good wide receivers. Houston's weaknesses, not so good DBs. Advantage Jacksonville. So I think pretty much that's going to be a little bit of a wash. So we'll say that's going to be even. Jacksonville played Houston pretty good in two games last year, and they split with them. So that's going to be pretty much an even wash in terms of strengths and weaknesses, especially as we got to wait and see what Houston looks like with this new offense and this revamped defense a little bit. Even though I give Deshaun Watson an edge over Gardner Minshew and anybody on Jacksonville's team, because he's the best player in the game. And last but not least, that team in Nashville. strengths of the team in Nashville, the offensive identity in Derrick Henry, matching up against the Jaguars' defensive line that doesn't have a lot going on in the middle, advantage Derrick Henry. Strength of Tennessee's defense. Well, we don't really know about the secondary right now, but we do know that they do have a pretty good pass rush, and they are very stout, and they do play very tough defense against Jacksonville. So right now I'm going to give the strengths to Tennessee. I'm going to give them a little bit of an advantage over Jacksonville. Now, here's the wild card in all of this. We don't know what Jay Gruden has up his sleeve, right? We don't know what he has up his sleeve, and no one else knows what he has up his sleeve because there has been no preseason. And the kind of quarterback you really want to have when there is no preseason is the guy that catches up, catches on quickly, a guy that can figure it out and process information fast. And that's Gardner Minshew. So that's my wild card for all of this stuff for the Jaguars. Good communicator, and Gardner is a very good communicator and receives communication very good, and he's a great motivator. I think for the Jaguars to get off to a good start, which I think will be necessary for them to have some success, at some point the quirkiness of this entire situation in this offseason, combined with the personalities of Jay Gruden and Gardner Minshew, has to come into play. It has to come into play. You got to ride the wave, man. That's all I'm saying. And I know I sound like Minshew when I say that. You got to ride the wave, man. That's how this is going to work early in the season in order for this team to get off to a good start so they can take advantage of the fact that no one's familiar with anything. I'll tell you what I am familiar with. Familiar with Friday. I'm familiar with cold beer. That's what I am, and I'm going to have me one today, and I want you guys to do the same thing as we continue to take care of each other, man, and watch out for each other's back. Also, please remember to try your Built Bars at BuiltBar.com. Check out all of our programming all around the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On NFL, Locked On NFL Draft, Draft Dudes, all of that stuff, man, across the Locked On Podcast Network. I'll be back with your daily podcast here on Locked On Jaguars every day starting next Monday. And you can follow along on Spotify and follow along with us and subscribe on Apple and iTunes. It's your man, Tony Wiggins, with Locked On Jaguars. Have a nice weekend, folks. Take care.